Good morning. Please stand if you are able for the reading. Today's verse is John 17, 1 through 5. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to the heavens and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. And that they may know you and the only true God, the Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I'm Lori Bruins, and member of this church for, 39 years? Wow. Getting up there, aren't we? Prayers of blessing for Pastor Kevin. He had an opportunity to celebrate and spend some time with his family in Columbia, so I'm thankful to be able to fill in for him. He deserves some extra time off, and I think it's Pastor Appreciation Month in October. So if he's ever guided you or leaded you, just say thanks. I think the simple thanks is pretty awesome. And I welcome everybody that's online. Do my pageant wave. Believing like Jesus. By Rebecca Simon Peter. I hope I can do this justice, and I pray for the Holy Spirit to come and be a part of this message with me today. So there's a couple new concepts, and I don't know if I would call them new concepts, but it's, as we've gone through this series, that I am trying to incorporate in my daily life, and I think there are times that I've kind of grasped the thought but never really applied it. It's like this has been helping me kind of solidify a few things. And today we're going to talk about that we have potential. Believing in your potential. Believing like Jesus in your potential. The scripture is John 17, 1 through 5, and it's really short. And it's a prayer. It's the start of the prayer of Jesus at the Lord's Supper. And so, like, Kevin asks again, and so I go, okay, what am I going to do? And I was like, oh, crud. There's this word that's used five times in those five verses that they're just like a hiccup to me. It's the word glory. And so there's five versions of glory or glorify in those five passages. And you're wondering, why would Lori have a problem with glory? So, do you know how moments can transport you back to your 13-year-old self? That word, glory, can just transport me back to being 13 and 14. And the reason is, I was raised a Lutheran. And for those of you who are Lutherans, past, Reformed, you have 2 years of confirmation classes. 2 years. Seventh and eighth grade. And back then, in the 70s, Pastor Bugey was a man of fire and brimstone, and if you weren't really paying attention to when he was talking, and then you heard the word glory, and you thought it was Lori, he was asking me a question, I'd go, ah! Glory, Lori, do you see what I'm saying? If you're not paying attention, and he says something about the glory of God, you go, ah! And then there's that moment, and if you would have known me at 13 or 14, you could just look at me and I would turn red. I was shy. afraid of a ghost, everything. So to this day, you know, and I would just have that feeling, okay, just don't look up. Maybe he didn't say Lori. Maybe he said glory. And I'd be like, oh. So when we're talking about fear, I'm no longer a slave to fear. That feeling, if I'm not paying attention, and you guys will probably, I just probably gave you a lot to work with less, that you can just go glory, glory, and that'd be fun. I do appreciate, though, and I think what I'm learning, too, is sometimes when I see that word glory, I'm trying to get to that point where you just kind of chuckle, because that's the way you used to be, that you chuckle, and you roll your eyes, and you think, oh, gosh, you know, because you can get pulled back. So we're going to kind of go through this fear and not fear. So what does that look like? I loved the start of this prayer, and it's not so much, I guess, the start of the prayer, it's how the Apostle John started to set the scene, because what he starts with is what Jesus did, and what Jesus did is he looked up toward heaven and prayed. How many people look up when you pray? Do you look up? I don't know. Look up. I thought that was so cool. He's looking up. Is that a part of what it means to, instead of believing in Jesus, to believe like Jesus, that we're looking up? Isn't that cool? This humility of looking up and saying, God. Glorify. So he says, Father, the hour has come. So he's getting ready for the cross. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And then in verse 4, it'll go, I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And so Rebecca, Simon, Peter is trying to get us into this concept that Jesus believed that he and the Father were one. And nothing, and there was nothing that was going to separate him from the Father. And he could maintain an abiding belief in his own potential to accomplish what he was asked to accomplish. And that is helpful. I mean, it took me a while to grasp this concept. I don't know why I was kind of struggling with this. So he knows he's with the Father, and the Father, they're together. And because he had that strong, abiding belief, he knew he could do what he needed to do. He could accomplish what he needed to accomplish. He had the potential to live into. And what really blows your mind is that that potential and that ability to accomplish what his task was all the way, even the way to the cross. In the midst of great suffering and uncertainty, he could live into that potential. I don't personally, I've been blessed. I was born in America, didn't choose it, got lucky. I've been blessed. So I don't know what great suffering truly is. But I sure do know what uncertainty is. And he had the certainty to know that God was with him. And we have that ability to believe like Jesus, that we have that potential. So I'm thankful that the information that Pastor Kevin had given me helped me to define what glory is and what glorify is. Because those are the two words that I just get, okay, like you're literally speaking Greek to me. What does that really mean? So the glory of God refers to the radiant presence of God. I put it back into, I guess the first time I really thought about it was like Moses coming down from Mount Sinai with the tablets. He had spent 40 days with God, so he was radiant. And then to glorify means to confer this quality on another. So it gets passed to us. It's done as a sign of divine approval. Jesus, through the quiet confidence of his belief, is asking to share in the glorious presence of God as a sign of God's divine approval. Isn't that pretty cool? Because in the next verse, the verses down a little bit farther, Jesus confers that on to all of us by saying, I have given all believers the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I am them, I in them, and you in me. God the Father, Jesus, glory, glorify. Jesus, glory, everybody else, all are given that opportunity to be glorified. Okay. Does that scare you? That word fear, you know, I am no longer afraid. It's this beautiful, wow. And you know what? You've done absolutely nothing to get it. It's just this love and grace of Jesus Christ that provides and confers that onto us that just blows me away. It's a gift. And that gift can be used for us to accomplish what we're called to do. Kevin had last week asked us about purpose. Sometimes I hear people even say, you know, what is your why? Have you thought about that this week? What is your purpose? You know, what do you enjoy doing that makes a difference for others? You all have it. And it's really cool because when you live in it, you are no longer afraid because you're doing what you're good at or what God called you to do. So one of the things that I've started a couple years ago was to be a lay leader for our district. The Methodist Church in Missouri has five districts, and so I am one of five lay leaders for the Northwest District. And we've done two laity meet and greets because we're trying to really connect with our laity and to say, you guys got gifts and they're needed in the church. And so we had to do this PowerPoint. And so one of the lay leaders with us said, okay, you got to say why I serve in this role. I was like, oh, okay. Because you really have to think about this. You know, PowerPoint doesn't have that much room, you know. And this is what I came up with. To encourage all laity to pursue their relationship with God and work alongside your pastor and others to serve your community. And that's really lofty. I mean, I go, my, I wrote that. And then you see it on the screen. You know what it's like when you see it on the screen? You're like, wow. But I do really believe that. I want you guys to pursue God. I want you guys to know God. I want you to have a relationship with God. I just think that's so cool. And then when we come alongside our pastor, we can make a difference in the community, and that's where our potential is. I just think that's the sweet spot. When we find out what we're good at, what our potential is, what our pastor's potential is, you put that together, that's what we call exponential potential. And we can do that. And it is so exciting, and it is so scary, isn't it? But when we believe in God, and when we trust in him, and he is in us, we can. It's pretty awesome, the things that we can do and have accomplished here in this church. He will lead us. So I'm appreciative of Rebecca Simon Peter because she knew what tends to trip us up, and it's fear. For those of us that are doing are a part of the Bema Discipleship podcast, if anybody's interested, I'm telling you, it's worth being a part of. Fear and shame starts in Genesis, guys. So it's nothing new. We all fight it. So Rebecca Simon Peter goes, in October 26, 2016, she wrote an article, Seven Fears of Highly Effective Leaders. Ready? Fear of being found out, of being seen as an imposter. First time I actually sat in a boardroom and had to talk about the financials of the bank, I'm around all these men, and there's just me, and I'm like, what am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? Fear of making the hard decisions. Things can pop into my head. Have you ever had to fire somebody? I mean, there's just things that happen that are just hard decisions. Fear of not living up to your calling, of not getting things done. I have lists that I carry over. Thank God they created post-it notes. You don't have to rewrite it. Fear of making people mad. People pleaser. Fear of getting it wrong. Fear of chaos or conflict. Fear of being rejected. I can claim all seven. I don't know about you, but it's beautiful to be able to sit there and to be able to talk about this, because what I found and what I have, what have been given to me in this church, is one of the things that was really, really hard for me is I was scared to death to be a parent. Because they don't come with a book. And I was blessed to be in a small group. And geez, if it wasn't for the women in that group that would say, it's okay, Lori, I felt like that too. Because it's scary. I mean, you just don't sometimes know what to do. Then I start to really grasp that was something that most of us have figured out and be able to survive. Now I'm going to have to learn how to do that with a granddaughter that wouldn't go to sleep last night, so she just slept on me for a while. But we've experienced that fear. And what does it look like to switch that around and say, I don't have to live like that anymore? I can believe in my potential because God is in me. Wow. That exponential potential, too, when you throw it in, to be able to do that as a church, to be able to live into working with connecting with the disconnected. And I highly encourage all of us to kind of start thinking about, what does that look like not to be afraid? People are afraid out there. Some people are just suffering. Some people, we just all have these fears. And then what is it like to come alongside somebody? So we learned about our purpose last week. This week, I'm going to give you, or Rebecca Simon Peter is going to give you 4 steps. To kind of help you kind of wrestle with those fears that we have. So step number 1 is name your fears out loud. There's power in that. Because I think one of the things that we fail to do, or at least I just started to do in the last probably few years, is to really look inside of myself and figure out where I'm quirky, weird, have my fears, and knowing that helps you be able to deal with it so that you've recognized it. But sometimes it's really hard for us to look inside of ourselves. But I highly encourage it, because you know what? God loves you just the way you are. And he's there for you. It's I that leave him. Step 2, Share your fears with somebody that you trust. People who love you and want nothing but the best for you. When you say it out loud, when I was telling people about my fear of parenting, and you know, like, what do you do with this or what do you do with that? I was able to see that other people were like, yeah, that is tough, and this is what I did. And because I named it and I talked about it, I was able to go, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that has this issue. Great, good. And that helps. Step three, brainstorming. Imagine what might be possible if this fear or those fears did not exist in your life. That is what I called freedom. Rebecca Simon Peter calls it believing like Jesus. There's freedom in being away from those fears and living into your potential and living into who you were called to be. And it's a good feeling. Step four is to watch your fears disappear. I think when you had Don't Be a Slave to Fear, did you see the chains on the screen? That's where the chains break. Because the fear no longer holds you and binds you. And you're free to live in whatever God has called you to do or be. However big, however small, just do your thing in your little circle. And the exponential potential is there for all of us. I think that is so cool that we can flip that. And it's just this ability to go, okay, the fear gets diminished. I have the ability to have the glory of God within me. And I believe it. And sometimes I'm going to have to be able to say it, even though I don't feel it, that I can say it because I believe it. And then that can also help us get into that mindset of believing like Jesus. I just know this is true in my life. I've had moments of freedom. I've had moments where I was living in God's purpose. And then I have moments that I do not, and I think it's all me and fear. Because God doesn't change. And I just want you all to, it's okay. You know, wherever we are, we don't go back, we don't look back, we just go forward. And that's what God is calling us to do, is just to go forward. He knows we'll mess up, but we're trying. And I think that's the beauty of all of this. We can become connected to God. And there's one thing that I learned in my many drives commuting to Kansas City. Anybody know the name Chuck Swindoll? I used to listen to him on the way into work. And he had something that it just popped into my head when I was reading that Jesus looked up. He said, stop being horizontal. Go vertical. When we have issues or we have fears, we tend to go like this. We look at all of our abilities as humans. Chuck Swindoll says, go vertical. Look up. So, I'm inviting all of us to just look up to God. Look at this wonderful God-human that made a difference in our world and our lives. And I just want to say thank you for creating us in your image. Amen.